Dubai Eye
103.8. Time now to introduce our paper reviewer this Sunday. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome the managing partner from one of the most talked about sources of information here in the region at the moment, Dubai Lad. The founder of Dubai Lad, Vip Patel, is with us here in studio. Vip, thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So come on then, let's get to the bottom of this one. Dubai Lad, what is Dubai Lad?
So Dubai Lad, it's basically it's a media publication online. Grew from social media to start off with. It's the UAE from a lad's perspective, and we just have a lot of fun content. We have a lot of fun with it. The news that we put out there, it's more along the lighthearted side of things. When we first took it over, we had roughly around 300,000 followers already, grown just from social media. Now we're up to over 800,000 followers, and hopefully looking to get up to 1 million by the end of the year. So it's just been growing phenomenally. And it's just down to the fact that we have so much fun content that people are sharing, liking, consuming.
Everything online?
Everything's online, yeah, fully digital. So we've got DubaiLad.com. We've got the social media pages at The Dubai Lad on Instagram and Facebook. It's a lot of video content, a lot of fun content. What people are consuming, what the millennials are consuming these days, swiping up on their mobile phone, looking at videos, that's us.
And what's done well for you in recent times? What sort of videos have gone well on the page?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of like really fun content. We've got stuff that anything we do with shawarma, it just engages ridiculously well. We posted a video the other day just of people making shawarma and how they do it, and it had over 2 million reach just off of the back of that video. It seems like people in this region just love shawarma.
Amazing, and obviously people are using it here in the region to find out what's going on around town and for other reasons. Is it also being used as a sort of resource from people outside wanting to find out more about Dubai?
Yeah, I mean, the way that it works here is we share all of our content to this region, but it gets shared globally. Like, for example, I had a friend of mine in Scotland that said that they'd seen some funny video from Dubai Lad and shared it with their sister who's out here. So, yeah, I mean, we're getting a lot of people predominantly from this region, but we do get a lot of people from like GCC countries, etc., that follow us too.
Busy time of year for you, that's for sure. We are in the season at the moment. It's event season as well. And it looks like it's going to be a busy one all the way through to the end of the year.
Yeah, it is. It is. And there's a lot going on this season. And we're just on the cusp of the weather getting a bit better. And with that comes the launch of all of the outdoor venues.
Yeah.
So we've got Blue Marlin, which we launched last week.
Yeah.
They had a really strong lineup of DJs, and they have for the remaining weeks, for the rest of the month. Soho Garden is launching next week. They're bringing David Squillance, Martin Buttrich and Matthias Tansman, a really big lineup. And then you've got the big one, which is White Dubai is moving to... it's moving from Maidan Club to Nasimi Beach. Yeah. Now, I think it's a new venue that they're opening at Nasimi Beach, and the other one's still going to be there. But yeah, where the old Nasimi Beach spot was, they're opening White Beach now.
Yeah, I read that last week in terms of, and you're so right about all the sort of outdoor venues now starting to open up again. Where was I? Oh, we were doing the grill yesterday up at Barasti, and they've taken down their outside. And I thought, it's a bit early for that. But you know, it's still a bit hit and miss with the humidity in the evenings. But we're coming round to that time, aren't we? And there's going to be some big events, obviously, to look out for sports-wise, which we'll get onto a little bit later on. But the weather is starting to turn a little.
It's starting to turn, and you know, with these venues, a lot goes into them. So I think they try and make the most out of the season as possible. I mean, it is still a little bit warm, but places like Blue Marlin are taking precautions into account. They're putting outdoor AC units, and I don't know how much it helps, but it's better than nothing. And you know, when you've got strong lineups like that, people will come.
It's event season as well. The Formula One Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Again, it's one of those events, isn't it? They think, it's miles away down the road. It's not that far away now, is it?
No, not at all, not at all. So they've got like an interesting lineup actually. They've got Travis Scott, who's like one of those hip hop artists for the younger generation, but he's got a huge fan base globally now. Netflix just did a documentary on him, so he's going to be there alongside The Killers. who are a great band, seen them many times, love them, but they haven't announced the third artist yet, so I'm wondering who that's going to be.
Watch this space. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who makes and concludes the lineup for the Formula One Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Quick reminder about that one. That one's taking place over the National Day weekend, so November 29th to December the 1st, and it's not going to clash with the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens, which has been moved a week later as well, which is, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Because you don't want two massive events taking place in the same weekend.
Absolutely. And it's Rugby Sevens 50th year this year. So they've gone all out. I mean, they've got Kylie Minogue headlining. I think it's the first time they've had a major pop artist headlining the Rugby Sevens in this region. Yeah. And what bigger name than Kylie Minogue?
I know, yeah. And kudos to them for getting her as well, because I think when they first announced it at the beginning of this year, a lot of people were going, really? Kylie Minogue? What, with 50,000 rugby fans? Is it going to work? And then they saw what she did at Glastonbury this year, and I think she's pulled in the biggest audience ever recorded at Glastonbury this year. So to have her almost, you know, hot off that sort of ticket is a great sort of thing to have, a great privilege to have here in the region. Talking of artists coming in, what's it look like for Party in the Park? That's back, isn't it?
Yeah, Party in the Park's back. After a year off, they're going bigger and better. It's 2 days now rather than just one. And they've got Fatboy Slim headlining the first day. And it's going to be him headlining the main stage with what's potentially a huge Halloween party, which would be interesting. And then day two, they have the Kooks and Richard Ashcroft headlining. So it's a very much a British affair. It'd be nice to see Richard Ashcroft out here again. I think he's playing with his full band this time, okay, which is great, rather than an acoustic set, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of Verve classics.
That's Party in the Park. That is scheduled for October the 31st and Friday the 1st of November. And before all then, you're going to have to explain this insomnia one to me. I think the graying hair is obviously getting to me. This is big, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's Insomnia's was one of the UK's biggest gaming festivals. Now, gaming has become huge in the last like sort of decade or so, and with the like sort of event of people being able to play online games together, linked together, these gaming festivals have become gigantic. Insomnia is one of the biggest in the region, in the UK, and it's coming to this region, and they're coming in a big way. So they're going to have a lot of major gaming headliners. So you'll see a lot of these YouTubers out there. They've got, I think it's called the Sidemen, which are a group of YouTubers who have millions and millions of followers.
Really?
Yeah, coming down to showcase what they do, amongst a lot of other things as well.
Interesting. I'm just having a look at one of the pages on there as well. News that Khabib Nurmagomedov is to be inducted into the Dubai Stars. Now, these are the stars that are appearing down in Dubai downtown. So that is one of the stories that's being covered by Dubai Lad at the moment. I mean, UFC's certainly here to stay by the looks of things.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, with the Abu Dhabi government, they penned a 5-year deal with the UFC, which is huge for the region. And what you're seeing now is like a shift of mixed martial arts from sort of like its home in America and other spots around the world to the Middle East. One thing with this deal is they brought over Khabib Nurmagomedov, as you said. Now, he's such a massive star because he's the biggest Muslim star in the UFC. In this region, I saw a report from the UFC saying that in the lead up, all of the material that they were putting out on YouTube, different platforms, was trending bigger than the McGregor fight with Khabib in this region amongst Muslim countries, which is absolutely fantastic for the region. The fight sold out within like a few weeks of going on sale, and it was such a great fight. Khabib was really dominant. He was at his best. He wore down his opponent and he put him out in the third round via rear naked choke. And the support that not only he got, but the other Muslim fighters on the card got was absolutely incredible. It was just something that we've not seen in this region.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, because it almost creates a bit of a headache for someone like Dana White and things like that, because obviously they've got their home that's been so well established over in Las Vegas, stateside for so long. And yet, he comes over here and gets dumbfounded, mind-boggling facts and figures coming out of USC in Abu Dhabi. And it's now, I suppose, how he manages his time between what could be two capitals for UFC in the world.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, this is a headache that Dana White really wants.
Yeah,
I mean,
true. He needs it at the moment. So.
He's super happy. Like, I mean, the UFC's a global brand now. He needs to be in this region because this region's very important for him as well. Mm. The amount of money in this region, not just in the UAE, but Saudi coming up with a lot of events as well, has meant that being in this region and bringing such big names to this region is super important for his global brand.
Yeah.
One thing that Abu Dhabi did really well was the Abu Dhabi Showdown Week.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't just the UFC that they did. They had a whole week leading up to it. They brought the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They had a fan zone where they brought a lot of different UFC fighters, champions over. They had Zhang Weili, who's the Chinese champion. She got such a massive reception here. And they brought Henry Cejudo, who's the double champ from America. And they just came here for the fan zone just to meet and greet with the fans and things like that. And I was speaking to some of the global editors, one from MMA Fighting, one from Conor McGregor's team, The MacLife, and I was talking to them about how they found this compared to the other UFC events that they covered. And they said this reminded them of something on a bigger scale than some of the fight weeks in Las Vegas,
wow.
which is great for our region.
Yeah. Talking of great for the region as well, we're seeing UFC, Mixed Martial Arts, making its play here at the moment and getting ready for another massive event here in the region at the end of the year as heavyweight title fights come to the region for the first time.
Yes, Anthony Joshua versus Andy Ruiz 2 will be in Saudi Arabia. That's going to be an interesting fight.
Mm.
So in the first one, Anthony Joshua was a massive favourite. It was one of the biggest upsets in boxing history.
Yeah.
He took Andy Ruiz a little bit lightly, in my opinion. He just saw a stocky Mexican short fella and thought that he was going to walk all over him. But it didn't turn out that way. Now, there's been like some fans that have been really wanting the fight to happen in either America or the UK. But as you know, money talks.
Yep.
And there's been reports out there that they were offered $85 million
wow.
to fight in Saudi Arabia. And look, Saudi's been coming in with a lot of different events. Boxing-wise, Amir Khan fought there recently.
True. Yeah.
Then you had Callum Smith, who beat George Groves for the Muhammad Ali Trophy. And it's not just boxing, actually. There's other events that Saudi are bringing over as well. They're looking to bring over the F1 as part of their 2030 vision. They've hosted the Formula E. They've also had major artists come last year, like Armin van Buuren, Janet Jackson, 50 Cent and Chris Brown.
Yeah.
So they're taking on events in a big way.
Old Ruiz, Andy Ruiz Jr. is coming for a bit of stick since the fight. People say that he's sort of gone down the road of taking his eye off the ball in terms of training, if there was much training going on in the first place anyway. I mean, he does it with the best intentions, but the Rolls Royces, the mansions, the splashing of cash. I mean, is that good for not so much the sport, is that good for Andy Ruiz, or does he need to get back focused ahead of this one?
Well, look, I mean, Andy Ruiz is a guy, he's not had the fame
True.
That Anthony Joshua's had.
Yeah.
He's not had the fame that, like, that Tyson Fury's had. And, like, this is the biggest paycheck that he's ever had.
Yeah.
So he's, like, just super excited to splash his cash where he can. And, I mean, look, taking your eye off the ball, look, it can be devastating for a fighter if you do that. You look at someone like Conor McGregor, who he started off with nothing. He worked his way up, but now it looks like the money's gone to his head and he's lost the last few fights. You know, I mean, this could potentially happen to Andy Ruiz, but I personally think styles make fights, and Andy Ruiz's style, he's very fast, he's very stocky, he gets in on the inside. It poses a problem for Anthony Joshua.
The whole UAE space program at the moment is fascinating in so many ways. I know that it's turning over new stones. It's breaking barriers and boundaries all the time. But it's one of those stories, isn't it? There are so many different ways of looking at this particular story ahead of the astronauts' launch into space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great for the region. It's good to see the region being proactive and progressing in such a way. Since Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid launched the space program in 2017, and he picked the two finalists, a lot of questions have arose off of the back of it about Muslims potentially going into space. Some of the questions are: what will they eat? How will they pray? And when do they fast? Eating wise, when it comes to that, actually they're going to have their own local dishes in canned form.
Oh, really?
They're going to be halal. There's going to be dishes such as, and I might not be saying this right, balalit, saluna, and madroba.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and they're going to be canned and taken up there, and they're all going to be halal. But another question was, which was interesting to me, was how will they pray and when do they fast? Because when they're up on the ISS, the ISS revolves around the planet at a static altitude of 400 kilometres, and it revolves at speeds of 28,000 kilometres per hour. So astronauts see one Earth day, 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets from the ISS. So it brings that question, when do they pray? How do they pray? Because 1.5 hours in space is the equivalent of 24 hours on Earth. So as you can imagine, an Earth day being 90 minutes up there from sunrise to sunset, what do you do? Do you pray five times every 90 minutes? Is that logistically possible? And these are questions that have been posed with regards to fasting as well. If you're fasting up in space, it would be a total of 45 hours per month. Rather than fasting for the whole month, which is around two Earth days. So one of the things that the government has done, the Islamic Affairs and Charitable Activities Department, they've written a guideline book to help out the astronauts with a guideline of timings, when they have to fast, when they have to pray, so that before they travel, they have a better idea of what they're doing.
Amazing. I love that. I love the fact that there are so many different facets to this story that are being considered present. Keep an eye on the developing story, courtesy of the RN News team, with regards to the astronaut programme. And, of course, you can find out coverage of it on Dubai Lad as well. From lads to dads. Let's do dads now, if we can, Vip, because interesting little piece you picked up here from the BBC about dads. Dads more ready to show their emotions these days or not?
Well, I mean, so the piece that I picked out, it was a story about no one asks new dads how they're feeling at work. Being a dad of two myself, my youngest being 4 months old, oldest three, and running a dad blog just on the side, as if I don't have enough to do. I just thought it'd be nice to talk about some fatherhood issues. And obviously, after childbirth, the mother, and rightly so, the focus is on them. They've just given birth, there's postpartum depression to think about. The focus is on them. And dads going back to work, there's a lot of struggles involved in that as well. Having two kids, having rough nights of sleep like I did yesterday, and then coming in to chat to you guys takes a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee.
But me personally, I'm in a good situation because I've got my mother-in-law staying with us. We've got a live-in nanny. So there's a lot of relief. But in this region specifically, there are a lot of parents out there who don't have that family support. And they are working long hours in this region. People do work long hours, longer than some other regions, so it does lead to a lot of stresses in certain respects on not just mothers but fathers as well. And that's mental health is something to take into consideration when you're looking at sort of fatherhood in the early stages and having to work. And a lot of fathers don't talk about it, and I think it's very important to, like me and my wife, it's very important for us to discuss parental matters about how we're feeling on a regular basis, because when we don't, when that communication is not there, then it leads to issues. One group that we were just talking about earlier, actually, British Dads in Dubai, there's been a couple of people that have reached out on there, just regarding some of the issues they have, the stress that they have, mental health issues they might be facing. And the great thing about it is the other dads in the group are so welcoming and so supportive of the matter that I do feel that it is time that guys did talk about the issues that they're facing, because when you do, it's a problem shared, a problem solved.
It'd be interesting to listen to listeners out there, or hear from listeners with regards to mental health, specifically for parents, straight after a newborn comes into the house as well. As Vic was saying there, yeah, it's all good and well. There's a lot of focus, or seemingly more focus nowadays, quite rightly so, on the mother. But does the dad get a fair crack of the whip? Is enough focus placed on Zines? Did your husband, did he get time off when you had your second or not?
Yes, he took it 2 weeks.
He took it though.
Yeah,
It's not part of the, because paternity leave doesn't really exist, is it?
You get a day, I think,
day.
For the birth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know some people here who didn't get anything, so they had to take a personal day on the day that their wives were giving birth.
Yeah.
So there's a big sort of, I think we're going to see a change in terms of the private sector, because there's a demand for it. The private sector allotting a few days, a week. Some people saying they get 2 weeks off. But those are like the big multinationals with rules that exist elsewhere as well.
I've heard of them.
I mean, I've been at that point where you're at work and you're sat at your laptop and you literally can't keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
But it happens. And I mean, you get through it after a while. I mean, like in my mind, this is a second. So in my mind, it's like just another few months.
Counting the days. And we're going to wrap things up with one of the more popular stories of recent times on DubaiLad.com, Schwarmoj.
Yeah, so I mean, we like to take a light-hearted take at the news, and so we did a article recently about how many shawarmas you can get for the price of the new iPhone 11. So the iPhone 11 is about to launch out here, and it's ranges in price from anywhere between, I think it's 2,949 dirhams all the way up to 6,119, and that's going all the way down the scale for the iPhone 11 64GB up to the iPhone 11 Pro Max 512GB. Now, for the iPhone 11 64GB, you could either purchase that in the next few weeks, or you could get 590 shawarmas.
Nice.
And the price we've used is the street shawarma price in Satwa, so the 5 day street shawarmas, because they're our favourite.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
ones that you can get on the street.
They're the best.
Yeah, they're the best. But going up to iPhone 11 Pro Max 512GB, for that you could get 1,224 shawarmas. So it really depends on what you like to do more. You like to take selfies, use a fancy new wide-angle lens, or do you like to munch on shawarma?
See, I think I'd be happy with the shawarmas. I know it wouldn't be much good in terms of communication with people. I'm not sure if they've got... Was it this new iPhone's got 4 cameras on it or something like that? Someone was telling me the other day.
Yeah, I think it's got three cameras on
really?
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Why
could
do you need 3 cameras?
It could be 4.
For your selfies and your other stuff, you know.
But I'm such a Luddite when it comes to things like that. But I can't even work out how it works. What do you mean? It's like different areas of the phone that have a camera.
You've got front-facing camera and 2 back-facing cameras. I know that much so far.
And there's another one hidden somewhere, is there?
A
hidden camera. Love it. You can find out stories like that and many, many more on DubaiLad.com. I'm assuming you're all over social media as well, Vip.
Yes, we are, yeah. The Dubai Lad. On Instagram and Facebook.
So find out all the latest there. And if people are wanting to find out more, do they get in touch with you and your crew through the website? Is that the best way?
Yeah, they can get in touch with us through the website, through www.dubailad.com.
You've got some big ones coming up in the coming weeks and months as well. Busy time for you.
Oh, it's a very busy time for us. Yeah, a lot of fun content coming up. Check out our Facebook page. It's got hilarious videos on a daily basis. So just go and check it out.
Go and have a little look at that. It is Dubai Lad. Check it out and find out more. Vip, thanks so much indeed for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on board today.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.